Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. This is a very momentous day because of the beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine and all that that entails, not all of which I think anybody is entirely sure of. So since this is unlike, I don't want to say any other day, but it's certainly like any, it's unlike any other day that we've had together, say in the last 10 years that I've been with you on this program, why don't we begin with prayers for peace? Because this is a situation that can and very, very likely will get out of control quickly. So let's ask the Lord to restore peace and calm in the midst of a very difficult and dangerous situation. We'll ask Our Lady to pray for us and with us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was watching this morning for the last few hours, watching this saga unfold, something that, quite frankly, we have not talked about on this program very much at all, I think I may have referenced the danger of Russia seeking to invade Ukraine before, but only a couple of times, and at that, not very much in terms of commentary. And if you've been keeping an eye on the news this morning, you know that there has been there have been 25 cities in Ukraine that have been attacked with missiles and rockets, etc., from Russian forces. I listened to Vladimir Putin's speech this morning. He gave it in the last several hours, and it was his justification for why Russia feels it's needed for them to move in and, in his terminology, sort of rescue the people there, because he's painting it as though it's terrorists who are seeking to destabilize Russia. Therefore, Russia has to defend itself, and to defend itself, it has to attack a sovereign nation to its south. Doesn't make much sense if you are looking at it from this side of things. Whatever the internal logic may be, I'm sure there'll be more statements from Vladimir Putin as time goes on. But I've also been watching the NATO response to this. I haven't seen anything from President Biden yet today, but NATO is all over it. Now, granted, they're, you know, ahead of us in terms of daylight. They're 6 hours ahead of us in Europe, but they've been reacting strongly. Boris Johnson, the head of the European Union, and various other important figures over there have been speaking up and speaking out about their determination to stand in union with Ukraine and to defend it, and, you know, saying everything up to, but not quite including, we will go to war with Russia, which I think, as everybody can agree, this is the absolute last thing any of us wants to happen, because a war with Russia could have globally catastrophic consequences. And as I was thinking about this morning, and as you know, if you're a regular of the program, you know that a big part of my show prep is to pray the rosary before the show begins. And I was praying the rosary this morning, and I was thinking about this, and I was praying for peace, which is something we should all begin doing very earnestly, very, very earnestly, if you ask me. And as I was thinking about what's going on, I couldn't help but thinking about Fatima and the messages that were given by Our Lady to the children in Fatima in 1917. So we're now in excess of 100 years after that time took place. But the second message that she gave to the children, it was striking, because in the case of the first secret, which the children were given to see on the 13th of July of 1917, Our Lady showed them a vision of hell. And I don't know whether it was a vision per se, but they were allowed to see for a short time because it was so intense. They were allowed to see hell. And then the second secret that was given by Our Lady to the children was the following. She says, "You have seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. The war is going to end." She's referring there to the First World War. "The war is going to end. But if people do not cease offending God, a worse one will break out during the pontificate of Pope Pius XI. When you see a night illumined by an unknown light, know that this is the great sign given you by God that he is about to punish the world for its crimes by means of war, famine, and persecutions of the Church and of the Holy Father. To prevent this, I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the five first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the Church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she shall be converted, and a period of peace will be granted to the world." So as my thought process just considered this message, a few things jumped out at me. I just want to share them with you. And by the way, my number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We have lines open right now. So as I'm thinking about this, I have thought about this many times over the years, how interesting it is that she used the word Russia for the country in question here, as opposed to the Soviet Union. Now, granted, the Soviet Union was just taking shape at that point. It was just emerging from what once was Imperial Russia. Imperial Russia was one of the combatant countries against Germany during World War I. And so Russia had a share in the victory, especially in the eastern part of the theater against Germany. And this happened again during World War II. But it was already morphing into what would become the Soviet Union. So I think the word Russia, it made sense in context because that's the way people at that time in 1917 would have known that country. They would not have known the Soviet Union. What's that? But it became the Soviet Union shortly after that, and it remained the Soviet Union until its dissolution, its collapse in 1990 to 1991. And then it's been Russia ever since. It's Russia now. And that phrase about how certain countries, certain nations, various nations, it says, will be annihilated. That's another thought that I've wondered about over the years. So what does that word annihilated mean? Does it mean that they will cease to exist because their borders will be redrawn? Possible. So there used to be a country called Yugoslavia. Those of you who were born, let's say, after 1990, probably haven't heard that term very often, but that was a kind of cobbled together country in the Eastern Bloc, or behind the Iron Curtain, as we used to say, in these United States. It was a cobbled together country, which was an amalgamation of various other countries that would today include Montenegro and Croatia and Bosnia, etc. It was sort of bundled together into a single country, and it was named Yugoslavia. Now, since the dissolution of the Soviet Union, those countries have separated again, and they are now their own sovereign countries. But there's an example of where those countries, for a time at least, didn't exist. There was no country of Croatia. There was no country of Bosnia, as there is now. And this, of course, could happen again. So I've wondered, is that maybe what that means, that various nations will be annihilated, meaning that it's not that they're destroyed, but they just don't exist anymore on paper because their names have been changed and they've been amalgamated into other territories under a new name. That's possible, but I don't think that's what she's referring to. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that's what she was referring to, because that's a lot easier than, for example, nuclear war, in which countries are obliterated. Now, maybe she meant that word annihilated in the sense of obliteration, destruction. And I shudder to imagine what that would be like. I mean, if we're talking about whole countries, that's vast amounts of territory. And it seems to suggest, although again, it's only an implication, time will tell, but it seems to suggest that if her requests are not granted, I mean, if people don't turn back to God, and this is over 100 years ago that she was asking for this, do you think that things have got any better since then? Generally speaking, worldwide, generally? Cyrus, I saw an ad, actually it wasn't an ad, it was in kind of a news article on CNN this morning. It was on Twitter about how the government has approved a whole new type of condom for an unnatural form of physical union, if you follow my meaning. I mean, it's no longer now just the regular condoms that I guess people have been using. But now there's a whole brand new kind of condom that is intended solely for, or at least primarily for, unnatural physical unions. And the U.S. government has signed off on that. Yep, approved. Go for it, guys. So that ties into my question. Do you think that things have gotten much better since 1917? I don't think so. I don't think those kinds of government-approved items were available in 1917. But that's just me. What do I know? So various nations will be annihilated. So now we're seeing, and we have known that this would happen, or at least it's been threatened to happen, and everyone has been predicting that it would happen, that coming into this morning, tanks are rolling, rockets are flying, cities are being hit. As of this morning, the last report that I saw was 25 cities in Ukraine have been attacked with presumably Russian rockets and who knows what else. People have been killed. So it's starting. It's actually starting now. It's happening. And if you turn on the news, don't do it right now. Wait till the show is over. Actually, don't. Just listen to your news on Relevant Radio. We're going to cover everything. I promise you that. And if there's any big breaking story, we will break it for you here on Relevant Radio. We're keeping a really close eye, as we always do, but we're keeping an extra close eye on how things are unfolding, both in Europe and in Ukraine, Russia, etc.
Yeah, be careful what you go looking for on the internet, too. I've seen things already this morning that I can't unsee. Yeah. Just looking for news and anything to help the show and that, you know, help spread awareness of what's happening. But I've seen dead bodies. I mean, it's not the first thing you want to see first thing in the morning. But it's out there. So listen to Relevant Radio and
we'll keep you informed. Yeah, we will keep you informed. Yeah,
thanks, Patrick.
And we'll do it. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. We will do it on around the clock basis. So as things develop, you can be assured that we are paying very close attention, and we will break in with anything that's worthy of that. Now, to your point, Cyrus, I myself am not a fan. I guess that would be putting it lightly, of the extreme partisanship of most of mainstream American media. Much of mainstream American media is hard left, extreme left, although they style themselves as moderate. They're not moderate. They're extreme left. But, you know, whether it's left or right, there's always a kind of political tinge to it. And I have found, and I'm just putting this out there just for whoever might find it interesting, I have found that in addition to coverage that I see from These United States, as well as certain outlets in Europe, Reuters, for example, and a few others, I have found that Sky News is a very valuable resource because they have been providing live coverage from a European standpoint. So it's British-based, but they're very well embedded throughout Europe and in Ukraine, and they don't have the baggage of American political craziness in American, you know, the American phenomenon of people hating other people just because of who they vote for, or people dismissing them as worthy of consideration just because of their political affiliations or proclivities. So that's a problem. It's not a new problem, but in my view, that tends to colorize. It tends to taint and make more tendentious the coverage of news that we get here in the United States. So I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm just saying if you're looking for an alternative that doesn't come with all of that baggage, that you can watch and be fairly confident that you're getting actually the news as opposed to the political spin that people are putting on the news already. That's something to consider, Sky News. I have no connection with Sky News. Obviously, I have no connection with them. I'm finding it useful. So that might be something to keep an eye on. And you're right, Cyrus, because not only will there be images of carnage that will be flashed up onto social media. So you have to be careful and make sure your kids are careful too, or be careful for them as to what they see. Sometimes the news outlets can be somewhat indiscriminate in showing scenes that can be very shocking, especially for younger viewers. But also keep in mind that not everything you see is going to be real. There very well may be some things that are out on social media, whether coming from Russia or coming from some other source, that are intended to shape your opinion of things that may in fact not be real. Could even be what purports to be footage. We've talked about this on the program any number of times over the years, about the fantastical abilities now, technologically speaking, to fake just about anything. Voice, to fake images, to fake video, and to do it so convincingly that you wouldn't really be able to tell that it wasn't true. So we have to be on guard against that as well. That's why, Cyrus, you and I, we vet things carefully before we play them. Now, I think we have...
Even this morning, there was, I quickly sent something that I had found, and mm-hmm. it was like an air raid footage that I had never seen before, and it was astounding. And then, so I sent it to you right away, and then I kept searching, and it wasn't real. And so I quickly, it's like, well, don't make sure you don't post that. That's not real. But why... I don't understand why would someone... There's a time and a place for jokes and like putting up a picture of Patrick Madrid, as a mm-hmm. as an Old West Dirty Harry or a Clint Eastwood character or something. There's a time and a place.
I'm actually very clean.
So clean
daily hair, showers, clean brush hairy. My teeth multiple times a day.
But to be throwing up.
When it's clearly intended to be satire or funny, that's
right.
Different.
Yeah. It's now, there's a time and a place, and right now is not the time or place.
Agreed. What I'd like to do, Cyrus, when we come back from this quick timeout, I'd like to play the message from the Prime Minister of Ukraine, Zelensky, who's kind of in the last few hours speaking out about what's going on with the Russian incursion into Ukraine. Why don't we start with that? He's talking about how Russia has set itself on the path of evil. And you will hear him, but you'll also hear the simultaneous translation of what Prime Minister Zelensky in Ukraine is saying right after this quick timeout. Please do not go anywhere. I've got a lot for you this morning. Please stay right there. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic credit union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Vladimir Putin is saying it must be done. We have to get into Ukraine and save the people there from terrorism and destabilization. That's the message that he's giving this morning as Russia has started rolling into Ukraine. We've known this was going to happen, and people have said, yeah, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Well, now it's happening. And we're keeping you covered, we're keeping you up to date with the coverage on what's going on in Ukraine. I'd like to give you a little bit of audio. So, Cyrus, is the first one Ukraine's Prime Minister Zelensky? Is that him speaking?
Yeah, we can do that. And that's okay. With the translator?
Yes, with the translator. It's just a couple of minutes long. So he's reacting as of several hours ago. And one key phrase in his speech is that Russia has set itself on a path of evil. Let's listen to his reaction to this invasion this morning of Russia, or the Russian invasion of Ukraine, I should say.
The National Bank and the banks of Ukraine have all the resources necessary to secure the state's financial resources, everything to provide for the defense of Ukraine and for the interests of our people. I am grateful to all our politicians who supported Ukraine and who stand in defense of our independence. We don't have political opponents now. We are all citizens of a wonderful country, and we are standing in defense of our freedom. Be ready to support your state in the squares of your cities. We will remove sanctions on any citizens of Ukraine. The Security Council of Ukraine has decided to remove sanctions from anyone who is able to take up arms in defense of our country as part of territorial defense. This morning, dear citizens, this morning has gone down in history, but it is a different history for us and for Russia. We have severed diplomatic relations with Russia. Ukraine is defending itself and shall not cede its freedom, whatever they might think in Moscow. To Ukrainians, independence and the right to live on our land is the highest value. Russia has attacked our state in a cunning way, is in the way that the Nazi Germany did during the Second World War. From today, our countries are on opposing sides of world history. Russia is on the path of evil, but much depends on the Russian people. The people of Russia will have to choose which path each of them takes. Anyone in Russia who has not lost their honor, they have time to come out and protest against this war, against a war on Ukraine. And I would like to appeal separately both to the citizens of Ukraine in Russian, also to Russians. I know that this is not being shown on your TV channels and much is blocked in the social media, but this evil, this desire to eliminate a nation is impossible to block. You cannot block history. Therefore, dear citizens of Ukraine, our strong citizens of Ukraine, anyone who has relatives in Russia, and I'm sure you do, those who have friends who know journalists, bloggers in Russia, please appeal to them. They must always talk about this. Then Russia will know the truth. It is important. Thank you. We will update you every hour. We will talk to you every hour with our population, with our public. From now on, this is our multi-million army. Glory to Ukraine.
Okay, so that was the Prime Minister of Ukraine, Zelensky, through an interpreter, as you could hear. Now, we have a few other brief audios. The next one I'd like to listen to, Cyrus, I believe, I want to double check I've got the correct one here. This is Ukraine's ambassador to the United Nations, and he is in the United Nations chamber. This was as of maybe a dozen hours ago at the United Nations, and he's actually speaking directly to the Russian ambassador to the United Nations. So they're, you know, basically facing off from each other. And here is the UN ambassador from Ukraine denouncing Russia's action today directly to the face of the Russian ambassador.
Well, as I said, relinquish your duties as a chair. Call Putin, call Lavrov to stop aggression. And I welcome the decision of some members of this council to meet as soon as possible to consider the necessary decision that would condemn the aggression that you launch on my people. There is no purgatory for war criminals. They go straight to hell, Ambassador.
Okay. Lastly,
that's pretty strong. I mean, yeah. There is no purgatory.
Yeah.
For war criminals.
Interesting to note the religious, the faith-based, I guess how is mm-hmm. a good way to put it, way of speaking. In this raises an interesting angle, Cyrus, because in recent years, say the last decade or so, and I've talked about this on the program, it's been so strange in Russia about how with the support and even the prodding at times of the government of Russia, how religious they have become. We see video and pictures of Putin at the Divine Liturgy. We see him blessing himself, kissing icons, visiting Russian Orthodox churches. The Russian government has spent quite a bit of money in terms of hiring Russian Orthodox priests as chaplains for their military. There was a building project that still may be going on right now that was initiated some years ago, building at government expense about 200 Russian Orthodox churches throughout the city of Moscow, just for the purpose of making Divine Liturgy and the sacraments. They call it Divine Liturgy in the Orthodox churches. We call it the Mass. It's the same thing. But this is the Russian government spending money to build Russian Orthodox churches for the benefit of the peoples. And that's what I mean by it's just so weird to see these kinds of seeming efforts in the right direction to revive faith among the people, and yet at the same time doing this kind of thing. Not to mention the allegations of murdering political enemies, poisoning people, croaking them in various ways. It seems like Vladimir Putin's political enemies have a tendency to show up dead all the time. So it's a strange combination, if you ask me. And again, going back to what Our Lady said at Fatima, she identified Russia alone. She didn't talk about the United States. She didn't say anything about the United States. And I don't know what that means or if it means anything, but she certainly talked about Russia. And when she said that if these requests of hers are granted, if they're undertaken, if they're fulfilled, then there will be peace. She said the good will be martyred if this doesn't happen. If it happens and people turn back to God and they pray and they fast and they pray the rosary and all of the above, then Russia, she says, will be converted and there will be peace. But if not, Russia will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she shall be converted, and a period of peace will be granted to the world. Now, as a little side note here, there have been, for decades now, squabbles and debates about whether or not this consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary was ever made. And there are, I would say, there are very plausible and believable reasons on both sides of that equation. More so, if you ask me, on the side that it wasn't properly done. It wasn't done, at least in the way that Our Lady said. Although on the other side of that discussion, there is the claim, and I have no reason to believe that anyone's lying about it, but there's the claim that Sister Lucia, the oldest of the three children who were in Fatima in 1917, after the younger two died, she went into the convent and lived the rest of her life, many, many decades, as a religious sister. And in an interview with her, when she was asked, do you think that Pope John Paul II's consecration of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, did that fulfill this request that she made in Fatima? And the report is that Sister Lucia said, yes, that did fulfill it. But there's a whole raging debate over whether or not, you know, was that a fake Sister Lucia? Was it a real? And I don't have the brain cells to try to figure those things out. I'll leave it to the people who are way smarter than me to do that kind of thing. But suffice to say, it gives the impression that maybe it wouldn't be done until like the end of all of this as it works itself out, where she says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, the Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, and she shall be converted, and a period of peace will be granted to the world. Now, as a side note, Pope Francis had called for this coming Ash Wednesday to be a day of fasting for peace because of what's going on in Russia right now. Very appropriate, if you ask me. And I would be happily astonished, emphasis on happily, if Pope Francis said, you know what? You know what else we need to do? We need to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and ask all of the bishops around the world to join him in that act of consecration. Would that not be a big day when it comes to Catholic news? Now, again, I know there are people who say, well, it's already been done, so I don't want to enter into that polemic except to say that it sure looks as though Russia is, even today, this very hour, fulfilling one of those dire predictions that Our Lady gave in 1917 about whole nations being annihilated by Russia because of wars and persecutions, etc. So we'll see. We'll see as this plays out. We'll see what happens. 888-914-9149. Let's listen to the Prime Minister of England, Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, who this morning, I watched this speech live this morning, and here's a snippet from it in terms of his reiterating the United Kingdom's support of the Ukraine and its opposition to what's going on at the hands of Russia.
Our mission is clear. Diplomatically, politically, economically, and eventually militarily. This hideous and barbaric venture of Vladimir Putin must end in failure. And so I say to the people of Russia, whose president has just authorized a tidal wave of violence against a fellow Slavic people, the parents of Russian soldiers who will lose their lives, I cannot believe this is being done in your name, or that you really want the pariah status it will bring to the Putin regime. Now I say to the Ukrainians in this moment of agony, we are with you. We're praying for you and your families, and we are on your side.
We are on your side. It's good to know that that England, the United Kingdom, Europe in general, the European Union, presumably the United States, from everything I can see, it appears to be a show of unity, and we'll see how long that holds. I hope it holds in general. By the way, somebody called in to say Zelensky, Vladimir Zelensky, he's not the prime minister of Ukraine, he's the president of Ukraine. Fair enough. He was the prime minister, I believe, at one time, but in any case, some of the news reporting, including the article from, I think it was CNN, that I had read from, had identified him as the prime minister. So let's do some phone calls. I think we will go first to, I think we're going to go to, where are we going to go? Let's go to Tino in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Tino. Hello, Tino. Tino is not at his phone. Let's go to Sam in Athens, Georgia. Automatic for the people, Sam.
Automatic, Patrick.
How may I be of service this morning?
I was listening to a book last night called Solid State. It's about how the Beatles made their music. And so as I was hearing about different songs, I would stop and play the song. And I was wondering, do you consider the Ballad of John and Yoko sacrilegious?
I do. It's one Beatles song that I won't listen to. It's a very catchy song, as you know. It's kind of fun and upbeat. Paul McCartney's playing the drums. In fact, Paul and John did that song by themselves without George or Ringo. They had some free time. They went into the studio and they just did it. So in terms of the music, etc., it's a lot of fun, but it's blasphemous against Jesus because it uses the Lord's name in vain. And it also refers to crucifixion in a blasphemous way as well. So that is a Beatles song that I just won't listen to for that reason.
I was thinking the same thing. I remember when it came out, I liked the beat, but I hated the lyrics.
Yeah. It's a shame, really. I mean, for the most part, the Beatles didn't have that problem. There might have been one or two other ones. So I won't name maybe the most egregious of them, but thankfully there were virtually none other than one or two that went into that category. But that's one of them. So this, I guess, gets to a bigger issue, Sam, and that is, like the old saying goes, you are what you eat. So if people listen indiscriminately to music that's got an evil message or a blasphemous message or a violent message or a sexualized message, whatever it may be, and they say, well, I like the beat, you know, I like the way it sounds, I like the music, but they're imbibing this message, whether they realize it or not, well, you are what you eat. So eventually, this kind of message will take some form, whatever it may be. And also, for my part, Sam, I just have an extreme aversion to blasphemy. And I'm not saying, hey, look at me. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that from the time I was a little kid, my mom raised me to be, to shun that kind of speech, to shun definitely using the Lord's name in vain. I think I've shared before, Sam, that I never heard my parents swear ever, either one of them. Even when my dad hit his thumb with a hammer when he was working at his workbench in the garage, or someone cut him off in traffic, or something else happened that a lot of times could elicit swearing from people, my parents just never, ever swore. And much less, oh my God, oh my gosh, they never said that. You know, they would never say like, oh my God, or anything like that. They would always say, oh my gosh. So that was formative for me. So for that reason, I just have this really extreme allergy to anything like that. I would just rather forego it personally. And I think that's a good way to approach it.
It's a shame that the Beatles were so artistic and would contaminate their music with things like that.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's water under the bridge now because as far as a group is concerned, they're gone now. But it's instructive, right? It's a reminder to us how we should lead our lives.
Yes, sir.
Well, Sam, I hope you have a wonderful day. Please join us in praying for the peace and safety of the people in Ukraine. We've got a war breaking out right now. Thanks, Sam. I will be back with more on the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio right after this. Today's programming sponsored in part by St. Gregory Recovery Center. More information about their Catholic-centered recovery from substance abuse is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
We are back. This is a full-service program. We're talking a little bit about the unfolding war in Ukraine right now. Russia has attacked Ukraine, but we don't have to talk just about that. Please note that we will keep you updated here on Relevant Radio as developments in that area come up. We have news, you know, throughout the hour, but we will break in if there's something important that you need to know. You don't have to tune away. We're going to cover everything for you. But as I say, this is a full service show, so you can call in and we'll talk about anything that's on your mind. 888-914-9149. How about Mike now in Milroy, Minnesota? Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Patrick.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Recently someone called in and you were talking to this person about the seven deadly sins. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that, part of the conversation was maybe they all could be or are mortal sins, and maybe gluttony might not be a mortal sin sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that pride was the most serious one. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking the average person is going to think about, if you think about mortal sins, you think about rape and murder and things like that. If you think about pride, you think about, well, I like my car, I wax it, and I'm proud of it, and I'm proud of my kid, he got an A in school. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's what you mean by pride. Please explain some of the ways that pride can be a more serious sin than anything
else. Yeah, it's a great question. So the Bible gives us a clue on this topic, and that is in 1 John, where it says, all wrongdoing is sin, but not all sin is mortal. So differentiating there, the species of sin. So it's all wrongdoing. It's all an offense against God, whether minor or major. But there's a demarcation between a venial sin, as we call it, and a mortal sin, as the Bible refers to it. And that is that a mortal sin, because it involves what's called grave matter, it's serious enough, and it is an intentional rebellion against God, that it actually extinguishes the life of grace in the soul. So the soul, in essence, dies, spiritually speaking, and must be revived with grace through the sacrament of confession, typically. So that, I think, is the key to understanding the answer to your question, which is that all of the seven deadly sins, when you think about them, they can all take a venial sin form. I mean, the kind of pride that you're referring to, pride in the success of your child in studies, or you're proud of your neighborhood, or you're proud of your family, or you're proud of the new tie that you're wearing to work. I mean, these are all benign, and they could, I suppose, venture into the territory of vanity. It could be a venial sin, maybe. Being proud of your school, or being proud of your country, or being proud of your kids, that's not a sin, obviously. So that's what's called, it's amphiboly. It's the use of the same word, but in a different way. And so in those contexts, that kind of pride is not a sin. But the kind of pride that the seven deadly sins are headed by, that being the chief of all the sins, it's the pride that falls into the mortal sin category, because it kills the life of grace in the soul. Now, St. Thomas said, and I would have to go back and research it to find out where exactly he said this. I think it was in the Summa Theologiae, but he said that that inordinate self-love is the root of all sins. So whether it's lust or gluttony or wrath, etc., that pride is sort of the wellspring or the source from which these other sins come forth. So they can all be traced to pride, and I think that that's why St. Thomas denominates pride as the chief of the seven deadly sins. He wasn't the only one to do that, but I think it's denominated as the chief of the seven deadly sins because it contributes to all of the other ones. So what would be some examples? Well, if in your pride you refused to listen to lawful authority. So let's say the obstinate pride of a Catholic who refuses to listen to his bishop. That could be mortally sinful. The obstinate pride of somebody who says, I know better and I'm going to force my way to be done instead of listening to other people. And even if you think the other people are still wrong, to be so adamant about getting your own way, that could be mortally sinful under some circumstances. If you happen to be the president of Russia, just to throw a dart here, and in your pride and in your desire for dominance, you start killing people by invading a neighboring country and doing so under the pretext of national pride and sovereignty, etc., and you're actually murdering people now, that would be gravely sinful, I should think. And if you were to look at any of the other of the seven deadly sins, it's very easy to kind of quickly see how they can become mortal sins. Now, just as a little footnote here, what about the sin of lust? Because Jesus says that if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have, in essence, committed adultery with her, which is a very serious sin. So is it possible to commit a venial sin in that area? Well, it is possible, but it, like with these other sins, it has a tendency to snowball very quickly. So if you had a fleeting impure thought that you thought about for a minute, and maybe you sort of entertained the idea for a minute or so, and then you got distracted, or maybe you pushed it away, but there was a time for a bit where you were actually sort of playing into it. Well, I mean, that could be a venial sin, but how quickly those things snowball into becoming mortal sins. So from my perspective, I think as we consider the seven deadly sins, pride among them, we can say that, yeah, in some cases, maybe it wouldn't be a mortal sin, but more often than not, it is. And how quickly even the seemingly minor versions of that sin can snowball into something more serious. Does that make sense, or do you see where I'm coming from on that, Mike?
Well, maybe some of what I'm hearing is pride is my opinion that I don't have to adhere to some of these other rules, or if, for example, lust or something like that, since you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Pride is like, there's like pride associated with that, where I don't have to listen to what God is telling me, what other people are telling me, and I can go ahead and do that, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it can take many forms. It often, pride is usually a silent killer. You don't typically see it. You see its effects. Lust, you see, typically, because people will act out in some way, either alone or with somebody else. Gluttony, you can see it. The guy's cramming his face full of food. You can see the effects of gluttony as well, for that matter. So pride tends to be the silent killer. And usually it takes the form of judging other people, hating other people, trying to block other people, being angry when somebody that you don't like meets with some success. You know, somebody that you don't like and you think, oh, that person's terrible. I can't stand that person. So why is he getting an interview? You know, he shouldn't have an interview, or he shouldn't have more followers on Facebook or something like that. These can all be ways in which pride can just blossom, and usually it blossoms in secret. And
before this conversation, I was guessing that some of the things you might bring up for is like, my pride tells me that I don't need God, and I don't need forgiveness, and I don't need, I can do it by myself, and I'm self-sustaining that way.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have any merit?
Yeah, I mean, you just described what the theologians say happened with Satan, Lucifer, and those angels who fell. The presumption is that's exactly what happened. There was something in their decision against God that involved pride and asserting themselves over against what God had planned for them. So, yes.
How about I don't need to go to confession?
How about I don't need to go to confession? I don't need to go to Mass on Sunday. I'll be spiritual, but not religious. I don't need to go to confession. I haven't murdered anybody. Why do I need to go to confession? Yeah, the church says I have to go to Mass on Sunday, but I'm not into that. So I'm just not going to go to Mass on Sunday. The church says don't use contraception. It's a serious sin. But, yeah, we're going to use contraception because, you know, we want to. It's a long list of things like that.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
You got it, Mike. Yeah, it's a grim topic, but it's appropriate for us to ponder because each one of us is in the devil's crosshairs. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, the Bible says. So we can always count on the victory with Jesus. But if you find yourself straying away from Jesus, if you're freelancing, it's not going to work out very well for you because that old devil, he's really good at bringing people down, usually beginning with pride. That was a great call. Let's go now to Margaret in Chicago. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I was wondering if you had ever read the book Mary Sent, and it's by Roy Abraham Bergassi, I believe. I don't really know how to pronounce his last name, but in this book, it's only approved apparitions. And I believe it was 1913, the Virgin Mary appeared to 20 farmers in Ukraine, and she warned them of the coming war, and that they would fall under a godless Russia. And she said, pray hard. After 80 years, you will become independent. And that happened. They did. They fell under the godless Russia, and they became independent in 1991. Now I'm wondering where we go from here. Was it they were only going to be independent for a short while? Or is there still something more to unfold in Ukraine? And it seems like nobody's ever heard of this apparition. I was wondering if you had.
Well, I've heard of it. I have not read that book. I am familiar with Roy Abraham Vergesi. In fact, I've talked to him at length on the phone, although I don't recall if I've ever met him. I don't think I have. But I'm aware of that only. So I don't have any comment, you know, with any information on that book itself. But I don't have any doubt that if a message like that was approved by the local bishop, at least, or maybe even at a higher level, that it would have merit. And certainly in a prophetic sense, it would have something to do with what we're seeing this morning with this invasion. I would need to read it first, though, and then be able to comment on the specifics of it.
Okay. All righty. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that there's more, that Mary will prevail again. Of course she will. If she says that's what she's going to do, she's going to do it. Mm-hmm. So if we just keep praying, maybe it will happen faster.
Indeed. Yeah, well, today, if ever there were a day where we need to be praying that peace will come and that war will be averted, today would be that day, if you ask me. Margaret, thank you for the phone call. And just as a little addendum to that, in 1973, in Akita, Japan, Our Lady began a series of apparitions to Sister Agnes Sasagawa, and these were approved by the church, and approved by the local bishop in particular. And when we return from this break, I'll share with you the most startling of the messages that she gave to her involving a future event. And let's hope and pray that we don't live to see it, but I'll share with you what that is. And then there's a little footnote to that footnote, which is that just a couple of years ago, Sister Agnes Sasagawa, who had been silent for decades and decades since that, she hadn't said a word to anybody about anything, she received another very brief apparition, very brief message rather, and I'll tell you what that was too, because it may well have a bearing on what we're seeing in the news this morning with Russia and Ukraine. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio, and I'm coming right back right after this.